Hope Radio Show tonight. We are in Capitola, California. Just down the road from Pleasure Point. Can't miss it.
Just down the road from the Capitola Police Station.
Well, we are right down the road from the police station, which is so appropriate for tonight's show, because tonight our guest is the one
and only
top cop in Capitola, California. Brand new. We're going to find out what the change is. But 21 years on the job here in the city of Capitola, Andy Daly is here. Congratulations.
Good evening, everyone.
Welcome to the show. First and foremost, you are...
Microphone
right there. You are the chief of police.
Yes, sir. Capitola.
You're young. Are you a young chief?
Yeah, I'm 47 years old, so... I mean, I'm in the.
Neil asked me how old you were. I go, he's 35.
I mean, I've had some time on the job, so you know, I got to age a little bit.
You started when you were 15. 21 years you've been in Capitola PD.
21 years in Capitola. Actually, I think 99. So I think I'm approaching pretty close to 22.
Wow.
I started up in Butte County as a deputy sheriff from 94 to 99, then came down to Capitola in 99. So, yeah, I've been in the business about 26, 27 years.
Well, it is a business, but also, do crazy people become chiefs? Like, a chief seems like all shit rolls uphill to the chief.
Yeah, heavy lies the crown, for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm still, you know, testing the water, so I'm just breaking in my pants, if you will. So I'll let you know in a year or so if I'm still here. So.
Neil, we'll do a follow-up show in a year, put it on the calendar. We're going to ask that same question.
Yeah. I'm still in the honeymoon phase, so.
Yeah. I just thought earlier that you always hear about police departments hiring chiefs from outside. Right. And I always thought it was because hiring from inside, there's politics of people who may not like you, who do, or so forth within your own police force.
Sure.
You, being 21 years on the job, applied for this job and got it.
Yeah.
What? That seems hard. Yeah. How did that work out for you?
Well, it's an interesting process for sure. So when the chief's position came open, the city announced that they were going to do a national recruitment, which, you know, at first was a little bit surprising for me just because I was an internal candidate. But the more I really sat down and thought about it, I thought that was really the right decision for the city and quite honestly for all of us because it is such a big decision. And so for the city to go out and really kind of do a national search and for me to put my name in the hat and then to come up on top really kind of brought validity to myself and then also you know, the decision for the city, because it really was a decision that was made through a bunch of panels and this whole process that was really competitive and challenging. But, you know, I mean, I was successful in it. I'm so grateful, and I'm just proud to be really the part of it.
Is that something the state wants you to do a national search? I mean, you seem like a perfect candidate because you're local, you live here, you surf here,
right.
You know people here. You're like the perfect, you know, like,
right.
But
if I wasn't? Right? Well, and so that's the challenge sometimes, is that sometimes internal candidates can think that they kind of have it in the bag, if you will.
Right.
Maybe that's not really what the community needs. Maybe that's not the direction of the police department. And so that's where oftentimes they'll bring in an outside chief if they want to change.
Okay.
And so luckily, I have to say that, you know, Chief McManus was the chief before that came from San Diego, really kind of put us in a really good position for me to, and that was his goal when he came in, was to try and develop someone from within.
Was he more temporary position?
Well, he was here for 5 years,
okay.
But his goal when he came in was to kind of bring someone up within if he thought that someone had that ability.
Right, right, right.
He coached and mentored me through that process and then allowed me to kind of test for it. And so I just feel really blessed with it. And the fact that I can kind of, you know, I started as a police officer here and then worked my way kind of through the ranks.
What was your start? What was your first day at work?
Yeah.
Your first day at work, Capitola PD, with just a plain Jane police officer.
Plain.
I thought I saw you driving the community service truck around in the beginning.
No, it wasn't a truck back then. It wasn't a truck, but I mean, I came on just as a police officer. So, I mean, it was the I think what brought my name a little bit out there was that we had the Hawaiian shirts, and I kind of got blasted with, because I actually was ordered to wear the Hawaiian shirt. But anyways, I got some pictures of it. It kind of went a little, you know.
It's perfect.
A little viral.
Maybe a little viral, but you know, it's probably fine for down in the village. Maybe not so much if you're up on, you know, out of the village.
Right.
But yeah, started, you know, as a police officer.
So what were your daily goals back then when you first started? What was the How long ago was that?
99.
Okay, 99. What were you said earlier to us, you're going to go out with a purpose. Right. Every time you go with a purpose.
Yeah, that's,
so
that's
if you're going to go out, what was your going out with a purpose back in 1999?
99 was really about, I was just inundated with this community. I love this community. I moved down here in October, which is the best time of year.
Mm-hmm.
I came from a water sports background, and so I was intrigued with surfing. I got involved in surfing. I really fell in love with surfing. It was just kind of getting a part of the community. I just wanted to be a part of something that was a little bit different. When I worked up north, it was a big separation. So I lived in Chico and worked in Oroville, which is not the best town.
Right.
But I didn't have any connection to the community. You just go down there and you work. And it just, right. I didn't feel any connection
right.
there. And so I really wanted something different. So, you know, it just happened to be that I came up through Capitola. This seemed like the right fit. I was looking for an opportunity. And so that's how it began.
Yeah.
Well, I just think I mentioned this to you earlier that I feel like you have such an advantage because you're the chief, but you could be, and I said this earlier, a beat cop and know everybody on the sidewalk.
Right.
And coming in as a new chief from out of the area is kind of a disadvantage to not have that connection with the people in this community.
Right.
But
you know everybody.
But Annie Mills did a good job with that, though. Like Chief Mills did a good
Absolutely.
Job with that.
He
was
put himself
was
out there, but, it,
right.
but
he,
his
but
disadvantage
he put him,
was he didn't know everybody when he got
no,
there.
No, but he hit social media hard.
Yeah, but that's to your advantage, I'm
right.
sure.
Right.
And in the same sentence, too, I want to say, if they didn't look nationwide for a replacement for the chief and they just gave it to you, that's an inside job.
Yeah.
And that brings up a full-on red light.
Absolutely.
And so by having them search around and then realize, you know, Andy, you are our best choice.
Right.
So TC, I'm gonna come. You said we need to get him on a few months ago. Get Andy Daly on because you need to talk about. We're gonna go front and center with this right now. Okay. We're not going to talk about crime. We're not talking about homelessness. We're not talking about Denny. We're talking about skateboarding. Okay?
There we go.
We're talking about skateboarding. Right?
Well, no.
Skateboarding.
Probably heard me talk about
the meetings. The meetings you and I attended over there at the city chambers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Remember the skate park?
And
people screaming at each other, and it was. Right.
I've been to a bunch.
There's skateboarding. Skateboarding in Capitola has a deep history of good. The bad and the ugly.
Yeah.
Well, I first want to say, and I know the current situation with the rules involving skateboarding in the village aren't your doing, but what is your doing is you embrace the skateboard community.
Yeah.
And you and I personally have worked together on a skateboard contest.
Absolutely.
Here in the city of Capitola, and so congratulations and thank you for that, because there has been in the past a sort of rough relationship between skateboarding and the city of Capitola, and unfortunately we had an accident that created this new rule that we can't skateboard in the village,
right.
Which I hope someday there can be some sort of amicable solution to that. That wasn't your doing.
Right.
I bitch about it sometimes. And I know Neil really wants me to fire up and talk about
right,
it.
I could
right,
throw
right.
you under the bus.
But
I could toss
you
under
know,
the bus.
That you know that it's not your decision that
right,
happened.
Right.
And I always laugh and I tell Neil this, that
but
you can
like,
ride a skateboard, but you can rollerblade and you can ride a scooter and you can have a double wide stroller. And you know, and there's all these other, a one wheel can go down the sidewalk.
But
you said no, that's not true.
Right. So,
but the sign only has a skateboard on it.
Right.
And then we agreed to disagree on that.
Right. But yeah, technically it's all roll type. So, skateboards, inline, roller skates, stuff like that, and all wheel based are technically not allowed from. It's kind of like the trestle.
The rim.
It's like the rim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yeah, the signage is at the either ends, and it's no skateboarding. but then again, you gotta find that balance of how much is too much signage? You know, every time I walk down to a beach, it's like the no fun sign. It's
mm-hmm.
like you can actually sit on the beach. That's
right.
about it. You can't
right.
do anything else.
Right.
And so you've got to find that balance of
right.
No guns, no fun.
And whether or not even one pays attention to the signs, because I see people flying by signs and doing whatever. So it's an attempt to kind of put that public notification out there.
I want to say in the same breath, it seems that things are a little more relaxed. And I don't know if that's something that you have any involvement in or not, but it just seems like it's not as high on your level of law enforcement lately
right.
to bust a six-year-old trying to push a skateboard down the sidewalk.
Right, right.
You got other things you got to deal with.
Yeah.
And then we can move into that, because I know there's some items on your list that you'd like to tackle, and maybe we can talk about that. Like, is there something that you're coming in as chief with experience from the past 20 years that you hope you could create a program or tackle or make better?
Yeah, I mean, I will say, you know, I thought long and hard about what the role is of, like, the chief of police for Capitola, and I kind of landed on the fact that my role is really to be that binding agent between the police department and the community. And so that's the things that I'm going to be actively looking for, is just like Skate Tola, mm-hmm. getting those opportunities to get the police department to engage with the youth, or whatever it is, with surfing or those different things, or the businesses or the community, the residents, finding those things that we can do to proactively go out and reconnect with the community. Because it just seems like through this pandemic and everything, we just haven't been doing that.
Right.
And I honestly, I'm worried a little bit in the fact that our newer officers haven't been engaging as much as they want to, what the community wants, and there's kind of like this place where...
But there's been no engaging. It's part of the public...
That's the problem,
The public angle. There's no engaging with anybody anymore.
Right, but that's so important, right? Because if we can't engage with the community, if we don't know what's going on down the village, if we don't know, if we're not out talking to folks, we're going to lose connection with that. And so that's really my role. I know that's my role as far as the chief and kind of, like I said, getting with the community, making sure that we're in tune with what's going on.
Okay.
And so having that support from my end, because, again, I'm as the chief, I set that direction, they respond to that. And so even like in the last month with the holiday season and stuff like that, you know, I've really been encouraging our officers to get out, get on foot patrol, get out and talk to people, and just kind of make sure everyone's doing okay.
Can I ask you a question about how did Capitola PD come about? Because there's no police force in Soquel, there's no police department in Aptos.
Right.
You know, I mean, how did Capitola PD, being a small little village, small little town,
right,
end up with the police department in the first place?
You know, I mean, Capitola is unique, and I Capitola, you know, they want their police department. We always say there's not a magic bubble around Capitola. There's a reason that, you know, the safety is from the police department. It's from, you know, the incorporation of the city. We have our public works, and we are responsive to the needs of this community.
Yeah.
And so Capitola is an interesting place because, yeah, geographically it's a small area, but we're very active, and there's a lot of needs. And, we are not going to shootings every day, but we do have quality of life issues.
Those right.
are kind of our big issues mm-hmm. are those quality of life issues that really impact, you know, the citizens, the businesses.
Right.
And so,
and today
right.
Capitola seems small, but back then it was a city before it was even incorporated
right.
as a city. Because it was happening before Soquel and Aptos.
Right, yeah. Okay.
There was a hub here
okay.
back when Camp Capitola
right,
existed.
Right,
it's been
right.
a long time
back
like that.
It was okay. a vacation area, and, yeah, they had the pier and everything.
Right.
I thought about the wharf tonight, and it is a pier.
Yeah.
And we call it a wharf, and
right.
it's a great argument and dilemma, because a wharf is not a pier, and we have a pier.
Yeah.
But I thought it'd be cool for to put Christmas lights on it.
That'd be an interesting idea.
Yeah, and I just tonight I was like, man, that would be really cool.
If you sponsor that, you know, Santa Cruz Apparel could sponsor the Christmas lights.
You know what? LED lights cost very little and very little to operate, and I think maybe I could help sponsor that.
There you go. Okay.
Maybe at the end or something.
Lola's on right.
And she's like, oh man, what are you talking about? That goes through me. Sorry, man. But I thought about that tonight. And there's some big events in Capitola we're missing, wharf to wharfs and things. As a budget currently right now, are you cool? And as a police force, are you okay? Do you have staffing issues?
Right. So we're still coming out of – so from the pandemic, we cut some positions. We were able to get a sergeant's position back. We still have a police officer position that's frozen right now. We're at that point where mid-year where we're going to start discussing that stuff. And then at the police department, we're also down to half an analyst position. So we're slowly but surely kind of climbing back out of the pandemic – and trying to get our staffing levels up. But with having said that, a lot of the calls for service kind of went down during that period of time too, because a lot of people were at home. And so this community is a lot of, like I said, quality of life issues, and kind of petty theft is a, you know, the commercial area on 41st Avenue. And so when people are home, we don't have as much of that kind of theft around town. And so our calls for service actually have kind of gone down. But I can already tell that as things kind of started opening back up, we're starting to ramp back up with our calls
right.
for service.
Yeah.
So we need to get back up.
I lived on Depot Hill. I always thought the Capitol. I'm like, God damn it, another event. Every event, this place is a money-making machine, right? Every weekend, it was like, God damn, I can't drive through town on Saturday because there's some kind of something going on.
Well,
right?
And I think that's to your point why the police department is so important with Capitola, because we do have so many special events. I mean,
right.
We essentially run from Memorial Day all the way through now through October.
Every weekend is something.
Event after event.
Well, I always say, and I describe it as it's like Avalon. You know, it is like a little Catalina here, and you do need. First off, you want your tourists to be safe.
Yeah.
And you want to keep the and that's a big part. I use Mexico as an example. Mexico beach towns are very safe because they know the tourists is very important.
Right.
So I understand why. If in your ideal situation, would you have more police officers for Capitol?
I think our current staffing levels, if we can get to our staffing levels, that's the challenge, is getting hiring competent people that pass all the background, and it's a very competitive market. I think our current staffing levels are adequate right now. The mall, if the mall gets redeveloped or something like that, I don't know what that would look like. I mean,
if you want to be a police officer, you want a police officer in Capitol of California,
that's what I decided. I mean, this is my beat. When I walked in, I'm like, this is my beat.
And do you ever show up at work and like salt water comes out of your nose and stuff? Yeah, and you're like, hey, where have you been?
Yeah, of course.
Wax on his
I mean, there's that's one of the things. I mean, that's the beauty of sometimes the shift work is you could go surf in the morning and you're running right into work and there you go.
Yeah.
And the police station is a block from the surf spot.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
And you can park wherever you want.
That's amazing. I want to talk to you about the new police vehicles, because you don't run the Interceptors anymore, the big Ford, one of those things, those big giant ones. You guys, now you have these Ford SUVs.
Right.
Are they fun?
They're a little bit different. They're a little bit more upright as far as the officers getting in and out. I think the next generation I see it's coming is the electric market. And I think that's going to be interesting. And I know that there's some opportunities out there to tap into some of that electric vehicle market. And that's one of the things I'm kind of looking forward to is reaching out, because we're a part of a Monterey Bay like energy group, and they have funding that's available, matching funding. If we could reach out and get that funding and we could support it, maybe get an electric vehicle and maybe turn it into like a traffic car or something like that. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of explore. I know Seaside, I think some of their fleet's electric. And I think Ford's coming out with a new electric vehicle, and there's quite the market's getting there, and that's going to definitely
right.
Or the motorcycles. Right. I know Scotts Valley runs.
You got electric motorcycles, right?
We had a Zero. The officers didn't. The seat was really uncomfortable with that, just riding all day long with the Zero. But when I rode the Zero, that was an amazing motorcycle. The torque of it.
Right.
It was really, really
cool. So you got to get a big old Harley seat on that thing.
You need a nice comfy seat to ride around, at least if you're going to do it full time.
Yeah.
The officers really like the bigger platform bikes when you get on the freeway.
Yeah.
If you don't have a full fairing, that's a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
Have you guys outgrown the police department? It seems like it's been in the same building forever.
Yeah. Well, if you... We got a remodel when they had the flood, when the pipe broke. So that we were able to kind of reconfigure the inside, and so we fill it up. But it's like I said, we haven't increased our staffing. So
remember, Josh, it was no room. There's no room in Capitola.
Well, and that's the thing. There's been talk about City Hall moving and doing different things. You would obviously probably go with them.
Yeah.
And I don't know where that would be, because it is a small town.
Right. Small town. There's been a couple of sites that, that they've kind of explored, but the Red Tree property. I mean, there's been a couple of sites. There's one on 41st Avenue. I think there was the hotel that kind of up on behind the
post office.
Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. That was a big piece of property up there. But
Knob Hill seems perfect, though.
Knob Hill, the Red Tree property.
Yeah, because you can zip right up to 41st from there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the mall, Capitol Mall, which you have a store in, is it a problem for you or is it an asset for you?
Right now, I mean, the mall, it's trying to survive, right? And so they're trying to get the businesses in there. Brian Kirk's up there doing a really good job trying to get the businesses.
I agree. Brian's doing a great job.
Yeah, and he's really trying to kind of get some good energy in there. But it's a tough economy, especially trying to open businesses right now. I'm not sure that there's a lot of businesses that have been opening definitely during this pandemic. We're starting to see a little bit more.
Right.
But, as it is right now, I mean, I've seen the mall when it's been kind of thriving. But again, that was a different time when malls were just a little bit more, a little bit more popular.
Right. What do you see as the future of the mall? What's going to happen up there? I mean, you've seen plans, TC, right?
And it looks great.
Right.
Right.
I mean, I've seen the plans. I mean, it's exciting. I think
Because it needs a big change. It needs it needs a huge. The days of JCPenney and the Sears is, are not happening anymore.
Right. Well, and those the big kind of box stores. It's such a big piece of property, and there's a lot of really exciting things that they can do with that space with a mixed use and some public and some open spaces. They're looking at reconfiguring some of the roads so they intersect and just really bringing that kind of residential and business and kind of. I don't know if it's like Santana Row, but it's definitely that kind of mixed-use type.
Right.
I saw in the plans, Capitola grows just about 10% with that project.
Yeah.
Population.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a gigantic increase.
Right.
So your budget would have to increase 10%.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, that was part of the piece of it was the residential, I think, because our population is like a little over 10,000 people. And, yeah, they were looking at adding another 1,000 people. Mm-hmm. Which increases
the traffic, you know,
the traffic, right. The flow patterns, the calls for service. All those things are absolutely a piece of that.
Hmm. That's a big toss right there. Yeah. That's going to be a big change to Capitola. But there's so much room up there. As you said, it's a big piece of property. There's so much you can do up there.
Right.
And that would benefit Capitola too, I would think.
Well, I think that's the challenge. They're trying to find that balance where it's going to be a benefit to the community, right?
Yeah.
So if you're going to add something, then the community needs to. To benefit from it,
right?
So what that looks like, you know, that's
we just had the four mayors here, right? Yvette Brooks, right? Mm-hmm. Jimmy Dutra from Watsonville, and my friend from Scotts Valley, and Donna Myers from Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
And they all have being four mayors within a close range of each other. They all had different. It was so different for like Yvette to Jimmy Dutra, you know, with so
their problems, their
needs.
Problems,
right, their issues, their situations. Do you find that with your mates at Santa Cruz PD? Do you deal with homelessness in a different way as what they do, are there problems? Are your problems smaller than what everyone else's problems are?
I wouldn't say smaller. They're just different, and you handle them with how you handle those different issues, or it just depends on the environment and who the stakeholders involved and everything.
Right.
Santa Cruz. Is different than Capitola. You know, it is different. But there are kind of commonality problems that do, kind of are in Santa Cruz that kind of migrate this way, that, you know, we have issues that kind of go that way because it is a small, small community. So we have competing problems. But the overall, I would say Santa Cruz County is really fortunate in the fact that we do all the law enforcement agencies work really well together. And we have to have a common kind of stance on a lot of this stuff. The challenges are just, at the pushback on stuff or if someone challenges something, it's very, very vocal down in Santa Cruz. And so you're going to get a lot more kind of outward emotions with the different issues that they have. That's not necessarily as prevalent here, but the issues are still here.
Right. You guys have a lot of businesses in this town. I mean, this is one. I mean, we've just sat in another one, right? With back to Brett. A lot of restaurants down here, and they're trying to survive.
Yeah.
How's Capitola, has there been some leniencies towards tourism as far as mandates are concerned, with California mandates, masking and stuff like that? I mean, has there been some leniency as far as Capitola PD?
Not leaning. I mean, we follow the state guidelines. I mean, we want to make sure that, you know, we're providing a safe environment that people can come down here and enjoy themselves. We don't want to get in the habit of being the mask police. We don't want to go. There's a position that when this pandemic initially started where there was a pretty strong stance with that. And it was pretty quick that we realized that was a very uncomfortable position for us to be in with. Understanding, the mask mandates and what that means and how you do the enforcement. And so, we took an early stance of really kind of doing more of a educational piece of it and explaining what it is, but not really taking that really hard stance of the mask mandates. The other thing the city did, to try and stimulate the economy down here is the outdoor dining.
Yeah.
And that's, currently going through even our city council right now, where they extended the outdoor dining. They're looking at the permanent outdoor dining and what that's going to look like.
Right.
So, that's going to have some impact on the parking, which is precious down here.
Right.
And that's a, parking's a huge, huge, huge
that's
thing.
A whole, I feel as being, I live a few blocks away and now being a business owner, there's a bit of a disconnect between parking enforcement and the public here, to the where I sometimes I feel it's like a contest or a game, or they fight each other a little bit. It's I think Capitola has a reputation of being a very strict parking enforcement community, and I don't know if that's good or bad because it's an interesting sort of dynamic.
Right. It's a moneymaker.
Well, is it a moneymaker though, Andy? I mean, that's something that I mean, don't know if you really know the budget that deep.
I do. Yeah, I mean, the parking, as far as the parking program, there is a significant revenue source. I mean, the whole parking program between the citations and the collections and everything is about $1 million.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so, you know, our PD operating budget is about $7 million. And so that's a massive chunk of our budget just in the parking enforcement.
Yeah.
But, you know, depending on the year, I mean, you know, they write between 6 to 7 to, you know, sometimes 8,000 citations a year.
Oh, no, parking it's, citations. They're like snipers.
Yeah.
They're the parking spot snipers. Yeah, you're 1 minute. Ding, yeah. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. And there's definitely a balance there because parking is such a premium here.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's $1.50 an hour or something to park literally at the beach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we have where they generate a lot of the tickets is that they have to, you're supposed to move every 3 hours.
Yeah.
And so people, you know, we'll have people that come down and just say, what's the ticket? Mm-hmm. That's $40. Perfect. Put it on my car.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you go to San Francisco, it's $10 an hour. You
put right. Card in there. Give me the $40 ticket. Right.
No, I just booked a hotel. My parking's $53
an hour. Just for the park. Yeah. Just park at your own.
$53
hotel.
Bucks.
Yeah. To park my $40. Car. Bucks. I bought my car.
Do they wash it for that much money? Right. Like, what the heck?
It's insane.
But no, so I'm glad to hear that it is revenue because I've talked to some friends who think they know what's going on. And they always say, well, with pensions and everything else down the road, it's kind of a little bit of a lost leader. And maybe we could change the philosophy of how parking exists in this village to make it be more, you know, community. And that's not my job.
Right.
Know, but I just know that there seems to be, you know, the public versus like the parking enforcement down here. So
what's it's? I mean, like I said, parking is a premium, and it's. I mean, our parking permit program. You know, we have Tracy Hernandez who's the one who kind of manages it. It's. I don't even know all the ins and outs of it. It's so complicated. There's so many different permits and where you can park and can't park and what permits go in certain areas. It's really confusing. Mm-hmm. You know, we constantly reevaluate it to try and make it easier. Even the pay stations was just a nightmare trying to figure out how to, you know, for someone just to make a payment.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Well, no, you know, I got sucked into one because the village had 3 hour free parking.
Right.
But the big lot doesn't.
Right.
And so I parked up there because I didn't want to take up a parking spot in front of my business. I want it for my customers. So I was like, oh, I got 3 hours free.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. You got tagged. That parking lot.
That's 50 cents an hour, but the ticket's the same.
You got a ticket?
Oh, yeah, I got the ticket. Yeah, like, you're not parking department.
Read the sign, dipshit.
I know. Well, I just thought about real
sweet. You could have skateboarded. You should park up there. Did you skateboard down?
No. I don't break the law. I'm honest.
Your best part about your job is?
Best part of my job right now is I feel just really blessed to just be a part of this community. I mean, I really do. And I really feel that when I got appointed and just the outreach that I got and the support was just reassuring to me. And so right now, I'm definitely in that honeymoon phase, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just really looking forward to, I was able to kind of get my command staff assigned. So I promoted a captain and
Sarah.
Yes, yeah. Captain Ryan. So Sarah Ryan, mm-hmm. if you know her. I know you do.
Yep.
So promoted her and then got to sit down with all the sergeants and got their ancillary duties kind of hammered out. And so now we're at a place where that's the advantage of someone that's internal is I can kind of hit the ground running. Because
right.
I already know, you know, what's going on in the community and those things. And so I can make those little adjustments as I moved up, kind of, you know, see how I want to, you know, kind of establish my team and then move forward. So.
Yeah. Who was most proud that you got appointed captain? Was your dad? I saw a photo of your dad and you.
You know, it's interesting. My dad almost didn't really realize what it was. And then he started getting, like, phone calls from his friends. He's like, wow, congratulations. He's like,
you see the press?
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I think without a doubt, I think my wife, because she's always had faith in me. And it's been a journey, you know, every life's a journey, right? There's mm-hmm. the ups and downs and there's been challenges throughout the way and there's going to be challenges. And so she's really kind of stood by me. So I think she's definitely been the rock for me, for sure.
Okay.
is she your phone a friend, or is do you have like maybe a work phone a friend? And I know you're even phoning your wife.
Right, right.
The so-called shit hits the fan.
Yeah. Well, she gets all the shit talking, right? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, but right, when you go home and right. Yeah, and she probably takes it.
She's my I can off gas to her, and you know, and then really, you know, finding those kind of peers amongst. And I know you've had like Aaron Ching on the show, so yeah. He's kind of been someone that I could reach out to. Yeah, and I reach out to other, you know, this is
other guys that know your position,
right? Right. And we're in a unique time now because Santa Cruz Mills just left, and yep. So Bernie's stepping in,
right.
And I know Bernie.
Yeah. His brother was chief.
Right. So right. Rudy and I mm-hmm. and I still meet with Rudy all the time. So that's I still have that network of folks that are out there. And then exciting for Watsonville because Jorge Zamora, who's an internal candidate,
right.
Is became police chief. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting because Santa Cruz County has kind of had this transition of now all internal chiefs, where we had a lot of external chiefs. And so it's kind of back on the, you know, not the local boys, but the internal guys to say, okay, now it's our time to step up and show that, you know, we have what it takes to kind of push us all forward.
Right.
It's so great to honestly to see that as a community member, to see our police have faith in locals to run the department and not have to go out and get these like hot shots that only last a couple of years.
Right.
You know, not that I don't know offense against Andy Mills, but you know, he wanted to be with his grandkids and I get that, but everybody wants to move on.
Yeah.
Is that going to happen to you now, Chief? Is that
no.
Is the grass greener somewhere
no.
else?
No, grass is greener, but you water it, TC.
Yeah. No. No. I'm happy.
Let's go where the waves are at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If the water was warm, I don't think I'd. You know, everyone would be here. No, I love Santa Cruz.
No, I don't think you're going anywhere.
Yeah.
For a while.
No, this. I mean, this is. I mean, look at this is. Yeah. This is my beat. So.
Yeah.
For sure. And in the same breath, I want to say I've seen a little uptick in homelessness in Capitola.
Mm-hmm.
As your department and maybe the city, are we preparing for the changes in that right now?
Yeah, absolutely. We take a very proactive approach towards even, and it's a homeless, the unhoused, the folks that, you know, there's a lot of mental health out there. There's a lot of drug addiction. It's a tough topic. And so we have to be in tune with what's going on because it does. We Capitola doesn't have like a, you know, Skid Row, but we do, you know, if we're not out, if we're not present, it can kind of happen. And there's kind of some areas that are kind of dead zones that they'll, you know, sometimes folks will take over and then before too long, you know, they're there, you know, they kind of root in and then start, you start getting some of that, you know, like the health issues and that
trash
stuff and trash right. and all the and all yeah. the littering yeah. and stuff like that. And so where the law was a little bit, you know, touchy as far as like the camping rules, as far as like sleeping and stuff like that, you know, you can't deprive someone of a right of sleep, but there's still a bunch of other things that, you know, they can't discharge their toilets. They can't litter. They can't, you know, run generators, all those different things. There's other stuff that we have, and then the biggest thing is that we have to have a good relationship with like our public works department and the Caltrans and stuff like that, so when there is the big if it's an encampment or something, it's just getting all the rubbish and stuff out of those areas and kind of getting those places back
ends up in the creek if we don't
and then trying to get in there and doing some environmental designs to kind of make it less
toughest part
limbing up the trees that kind of stuff
exactly.
The toughest part of the job is
I would say the personnel HR stuff, you know, because it's making sure that you're following all those rules and stuff like that. They just kind of keep you in line, and so it's not the toughest. It's just the most funnest
right.
part of the job.
A lot of state guidelines to run a police department. I would imagine there would be.
Yeah, I mean it's regulated. There's a lot of audits that go on, and so as you take over command. We're in that process of, so I have to go through and like we'll audit our entire evidence department to, you know, to see, because I'm going to be taking over I've taken over, and so I have to sign off on hey, everything that's there is, you know, in my command. So it's that transition of power and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I was impressed because I had some stuff in that evidence because
shut
down.
Yeah.
You shut down evidence for a while. Well, we had a shoplifter that got caught,
mm-hmm.
and he had a car full of stuff, and some was ours, and it got landed up in your evidence.
Yeah.
And then during COVID, they shut it down, I guess, for a little while. But I got a call, and they're like, hey, like a year later, I was like, come down and get your stuff back.
Yeah.
I was like, all right.
Thank you.
Yeah. I ended up donating it. But, you know, but it was cool. And so it was run perfect, you know. Good. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
It seems right now there's so much liability of being a police officer.
Yeah.
You know, is that
right?
Is there a nervousness amongst the ranks right now? What's going on legally to be a police officer? And
approaching a car in a traffic stop must be different than it used to be.
Well, it is, and it's when you talk about maybe the biggest challenge right now is probably come back to finding people that want to do this job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what Andy Mills said.
Yeah, it's because the pool. Well, first off, because of this area and it's the cost of living and everything, it's really hard to find someone that can afford to live here,
right?
And so you have to find those people that want to be here. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it is like local people that have grown up here or have family ties that want to be invested in the community. And we want to hire people that again want to be a part of this community. I don't want them.
You're no different to like a business like his. Like you're trying to hire people,
yeah.
Right? Same thing you're doing.
Yeah,
you're trying to hire someone that fits your mold.
Right. And so back to your point on the finding people and is it dangerous out there? Yeah. I mean, coming off of George Floyd and all that and everything that was going on, I think law enforcement took a pretty at least a pause.
Yeah.
As to evaluating what moving forward, what's law enforcement going to look like?
Right.
I will say, having been in law enforcement for, 20 something years, over 20 years, how we do policing back in the, late 90s, early 2000s is totally different than it is today.
Right.
And better. We need to be more precise. We can't just go out and it can't be this big, net approach towards law enforcement. We need to be specific about stuff, and we need to, get out there and work towards like looking for those kind of root causes and those different things that like getting to the core of stuff, and not just going out and arresting a bunch of addicts. We're not going to arrest our way out of a lot of these like social problems.
Right, right, right.
That's not going to fix it.
No.
It's not going to fix it.
And the thing too, we talked about this a little bit earlier. There has to be more help.
Yeah.
To make it happen. It's similar to what we talked about in the past. It takes money.
Yep.
And currently that funding's not there. So the problem's going to get bad until, as a whole community and nation,
right.
We step up and say demand a change.
Right.
Because this is not, the money's not
right.
there.
And that's the big, when you talk about like with the police and stuff, it's the police do, whatever, they make that arrest. It's like, but what happens to that person when they, if they go to, if they get, are they putting up a treatment program, or is it, we're missing that piece of they did something, they're held accountable for it, it's okay, prison or whatever, jail is not the place for them, but where's that kind of...
I mean, how many times do you take someone to jail from Capitol? You take people from here to Santa Cruz, the sheriff's office, right, to downtown jail.
Yeah.
How often do you see them back in town the next day?
Oh. Before, sometimes they're back before
same
even,
day.
Yeah, before you even come back.
And back in the car.
Are you like what?
Well, and with COVID, quite honestly, worried about booking prisoners with COVID, there was kind of unless it was a pretty violent felony, we weren't taking people down to jail because of just that overexposure and then the risk and all those different things, and it's kind of compounded the problem,
right?
Which kind of goes back to police being a little bit more kind of hands off or disengaged. It's more like a disengage, and it happens naturally, right? Because when there's a lot of national politics with policing and stuff like that, police look at that and they don't want to put themselves out there to get in trouble or anything, and so they evaluate it,
mm-hmm.
And so that's where I think we have to really kind of take that our take a good step forward and re-engage with our community and get back out there.
Well, it must be so frustrating, because I know for me, when Santa Cruz Mugshots was on the line, that was an amazing website.
Yeah.
It was like a yearbook.
Yeah.
It's your friends.
That guy again thing was, some people have like 50 mugshots in a month and stuff, and it must be so frustrating to be in law enforcement and dealing with the same knuckleheads that take up so much of your resources.
Right, right.
You know, and I know Santa Cruz has a problem with that for sure.
Yeah.
Is it a problem here for you?
You know, they take up the resources. I wish the one thing that we had, there was the sobering center. I thought that was really good. The jail had the sobering center. And so when instead of people going to jail for like drunk in public or
right.
DUI or whatever, they
right.
had this, they had this sobering center, and they would, you would take them in there, and they would, they were in custody, but they were sobering up, and they weren't in a drunk tank.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would sit down and explain, like, this is how, you know, DUI, and they would start that, the treatment part, like looking at the alcoholism and drug abuse and stuff like that. And so that was really good.
It was more positive. It was positive. Yeah.
The funding got taken away, and it was just like, that was the right direction.
Yeah.
And then it got taken away.
So yeah, it's sad.
Like preventatives.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, to like try to get it, maybe nip it young, give
yeah.
them some resources, maybe, yeah.
Explain but stuff to them.
Frustrating.
Very frustrating.
Huh. What is Capitol PD discount in the Santa Cruz Apparel? Is there is going to be
a cheap discount.
Is there like a, I know they can't accept anything. I can't.
It didn't help with my parking ticket. Yeah.
I tried to come in and get one of the first shirts, though. I do.
Yeah.
I think second or third person.
No, thanks for that. You
yeah.
actually
came in and shopped.
First day.
Did you hook him up?
I hooked him.
Yeah, good.
But I did brag about that.
Yeah.
Because I was stoked, and that's your connection with the community that we're talking about.
Yep.
You know, a business opened up down here, and the first day the chief comes in.
Yep.
It made me proud.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do stuff like that, it makes a difference. And
yeah.
That's a Chief Andy Mills thing. He'd
right.
walk down Pacific Avenue and
right.
give people knuckles, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's really important.
You get in a fight with people, too.
Are you on social media?
I have Facebook.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and are you doing chief stuff on there? Or
well, okay, so that's the one thing that we're, as a police department, our police department Facebook, Instagram
terrible.
Is pathetic.
Yeah.
So that was one of the things. Like we already talked about it. We're starting to get our content. So we're figuring. We sat down. We're gonna bump up our social media presence
yeah.
big time, and it's gonna
yeah.
be a good thing.
Good.
Yeah.
And I love that. And
yeah.
what I love about it is there's community heroes that should be recognized on
yeah.
there. The big bus, you know,
yeah.
but your community constituents here, they want to see the fentanyl off the street.
Yeah.
And brag about that when you get somebody like that. And I love people who do that. The sheriff
absolutely.
Does that here really
yeah.
well, I feel.
They
so
do.
I look forward to
yeah.
Capitola and doing that more.
Absolutely.
Well, put it on the calendar 1 year from now. We're going to find out how the honeymoon goes.
Yeah.
He's still on the honeymoon right,
right.
now, Neil.
That Facebook page still has us on it.
Yeah.
It's
really old.
It's old.
Ours is it. We're going to get there, though.
Well, you know, social media is everything. And,
yeah.
And I feel like that's one of the best ways to connect with the community. And you can get information out and public service announcements. If there's a problem, you know, maybe an emergency or there's a gas leak or something, you can help
absolutely.
Get the word out that way too. I wanted to touch base on Skate Tola again and
yeah.
just hammer home to the audience that that before you were chief and you were just working for the PD, you wanted to do a skateboard contest.
Yeah.
And I mean, where did that all come from? Like you that was all you.
Yeah, it was. You know, we were actually at a team building event. In Monterey, and we're discussing ways to kind of connect. And one of the things I was like, man, I really want to do something with the community, the youth, and I love, I you know, skateboarding, surfing. I'm one of those guys that likes that stuff. And so I was like, you know, the police department and Capitola has always had that can't skate in Capitola. That was on the back of my ticket book, by the way, back in the day. That was honored.
Yeah,
it's true. And it
yeah.
was, and so I was like, you know, when we have the skateboard park, I'm like, why doesn't the PD put together a skateboard event? And so
yeah.
I reached out to you.
Yeah, it was
and
great.
And you were like, let's do this. And
mm-hmm.
so thankfully, like I said, you took the lead on it and helped organize it. And it was I thought it was a great success that first
I
year.
I thought so too.
Was it?
Got in the way.
COVID got in the way, but we're going to bring it back. So
mm-hmm.
Actually the Capitol Public Safety Foundation, just gave me $500 to help
awesome.
Kind of
get
to
the
get
there
the
you
ball,
go.
Get the
you're
going to
be busy,
rolling,
TC.
So.
No, it's great. It's a great event. And I saw a difference in it.
Yeah.
You know, because I am sort of in the middle of that relationship between skateboarding and the city of Capitola, and I see both sides. And after that, I did see a positive change. In that.
Good.
And so it does make a difference. And you know these kids.
Yeah.
It's the same kids.
Yeah.
You've been here. That's what I do think is a great advantage to you being the new police chief is that You know these kids.
Right.
They're all sitting out here every
day.
I probably know their parents. Yeah. And, you know, right. That's the. They're all grow up. You know, that's great.
And I love that how our community has that policing philosophy right now.
Yeah.
And it's, I guess it's a social experiment. We'll find out.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to seeing the success you're going to have here.
Yeah. And I have to say, though, the people that I'm working with in our police department are amazing. I mean, they really are. And they're very professional. You know, we have a bunch of young folks that are coming out, and it's awesome. And like I said, they want to get out. They want to be a part of the community.
Right.
Now it's kind of like, let's just do it.
Yeah.
It's time.
Yeah. Thanks, Chief.
Yeah, that's cool.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
You know, because I know there's a lot of talented people in this country that could lead a police force.
Yep. Yeah.
And to land the job means that you obviously were qualified. Your experience here in town, I think, is a huge
perfect
advantage.
Match. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I really think that the town is going to be better with you. In
yeah,
command.
Absolutely.
Appreciate that.
If you want to come back on the show and talk about something else, you know.
You can come anytime.
All right,
well, we're
cool.
We're going to talk about it. We're going to put it anyway. Because currently we're in the honeymoon right now.
Right.
I'm still, yeah.
We'll see what goes south.
Exactly. I don't even have wrinkles in my uniform yet.
Let's see what goes south.
And then hopefully this summer we'll do Skate Tola again.
Absolutely.
We'll do another contest and make a great time at the skate park.
Yep.
Again. Congratulations, welcome.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks, DC.
Neil, what do we got next on our future shows?
David Garaducci.
Okay.
He's a Santa Cruz County Health Officer who's the second in command for Gail Newell.
Gail Newell, of course, who's a friend of the show.
Not well right now, mm-hmm. So we wish her love. And she's coming on next week. And then we're going to have here next Friday, Jake.
Jake Nielsen?
Jake Nielsen is going to be playing here next Friday.
Wow.
He's going to be rocking.
One of the best guitar players on the planet, everybody.
Absolutely.
So be sure to tune into that.
Yeah.
We should say a big...
Next Tuesday, next Friday.
Next Tuesday and Friday.
Next Tuesday, next Friday is going to be
Jake Nielsen.
Yeah.
T-Fox, Santa Cruz Waves, thanks for letting us be on your Facebook page. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Neil, great show.
Yep.
Andy Daly, new chief, Capitola,
thanks,
right
sir.
Here in the beautiful,
thanks,
beautiful part of California, everybody. Hope you have a great night. Thank you for tuning in.